Hey guys, Laura here. I wanted to invite you to my authenticity workshop on Friday, May 24th. The title of this workshop is Authentic Expression and Why It Will Make You Wealthy. And I use the word wealthy not specifically in the traditional sense, although that's true as well, but also holistically wealthy, leading to a life of joy, abundance, and expansion. Because when we learn to authentically express, there's nothing more powerful. And once we learn it, and we bring it to our nurse coaching practice, it echoes into every other area of our life. So come for this interactive workshop. It's $30. You need to register. Link will be in the bio. Thank you. Welcome to the Successful Nurse Coach Podcast. On this podcast, Laura
and Shelby, both board-certified nurse coaches, show you how to make as much money as you want in private practice as a nurse coach. Hello, everybody. It is Shelby. Welcome back. Oh, I just remembered that I'm recording a podcast and maybe I shouldn't sing. Sorry about that. Welcome back to the Successful Nurse Coach Podcast. It's your nurse coach best friend, Shelby, here today with you. And I wanted to record this episode as soon as I heard it for like the fourth time on a mentorship call. I knew that I had to talk to you all about it. and so this episode is going to be in relation to the connection process, the invitation process, the proposal process, everything about client creation, I think this applies to. And I mean, you've seen the title of this episode, but it is about cherry picking your opportunities. And I was in mentorship calls this morning and we were talking about this thing. One of our mentees was saying, I connected with a doctor at work and we really kind of like jumped in the deep end on a catch up of talking about, I won't go into too many details, but, you know, connecting on a deep level. And she was like, the whole time my internal firing system was going off of like, I know I can help her. I know I can help her. I know I can help her, but I don't want to rush it. But I don't want to be weird. But I don't want to make her uncomfortable. But she might not have any time. She has a lot going on. But. And she popped into our chat and she was like, God, why did I do that? Why did I not offer? Why did I not invite? I know I can help her. All of these things. And it came up again on another coaching call where someone was like, well, I'm afraid to follow back up with this person, this person, and this person. And then this mentee was creating a bunch of stories of why she had to wait, why she shouldn't follow up too soon. She was waiting for the perfect time, all of these things, right? And what's interesting is that both of these stories, both of the clients hadn't done anything. It was kind of like stopping them both in their tracks. And it got me thinking of why we cherry pick clients based on who we think is going to say yes. Why do we cherry pick opportunities based on who we think is going to follow through or be interested or understand the power of coaching? I feel like it's really limiting our opportunity in the big picture because you're filtering out automatically so many opportunities. And I'm likely guessing that we're filtering all of these opportunities based on limiting beliefs that we have in our mind, right? Of that person's too busy. That person doesn't have enough money. That person doesn't have the time, or they have a lot going on, or that person is a therapist and I can't help a therapist. What could I help them with that they don't already know? There's all of these limiting beliefs that just jump in the way and like hold up a big stop sign and stop you in your tracks. And I mean, leave it to me to make it about the subconscious. Again, I love talking about the subconscious, but you know, if we have this filter over our experience to where we're only cherry picking opportunities where we think that the answer will be yes, or we think that people have the money, or we think that people will understand the power of coaching, we might be leaving some people hanging out to dry, right? And as you niche down and get, like, develop your personal brand. Like, you might work with the same type of people over and over and over again and get so good at your craft that you could, like, meet somebody for coffee and immediately know, like, I can help you or I can't help you. But in the beginning, it is, there's kind of this joke that I heard early on in my coaching business of, like, your ideal client is whoever will say yes to you, because you're looking for the experience, you're looking for the coaching hours, you're looking to learn. You are new and green and here for the process. And so all of this to be said, I also, you know, we filter our experience based on the limiting beliefs that we may not have. Our limiting beliefs formed in childhood, et cetera. I won't take a big left turn into the subconscious today. It's helpful to be aware of these things. The next time you go to offer a coaching session or you sit down to connect with people or you go to an event and you're quiet in the corner and you don't connect with anybody, be curious about that. Ask yourself why. Call your best friend. Talk it out loud. Do some exploration around why you did that. I say that with a lot of love, but like, why? Why? I'll give an example and then I'll move on to my next point here. But when I was new, I think it was like my third or fourth proposal, there was a girl I was talking to that I had met in a hiking Facebook group. I didn't know she was a nurse, but she said yes to a call. We get on the call and I'm probably 27 at the time and she's maybe 22. She's really young and immediately I clock her. She doesn't have enough money to pay for it. Then she says, oh, I'm in school for my master's. Clocked it again. She really doesn't have money for coaching. But then she's talking to me about how she is struggling deeply at work. She's afraid to show up to codes. She doesn't feel like she knows what she's doing. She's having a hard time getting the support that she needs from her workplace and from her preceptor. She's having a hard time asking for help and she feels dumb was the language that she used. She's like, I do not feel smart. I feel dumb when I go to work. And she was like, do you have any advice for me? And what I said in that moment was just for her to go get more practice and that it would get better, which is probably true. But what I wish I would have said was like, I can help you. I can help you find your voice. I can help you build your confidence at work. I have been in your shoes. I have lived through this. I get it and I can help you is what I should have said. But because I had clocked her before, she doesn't have enough money, she doesn't have enough time, I didn't propose. I got off that call and I called my brother and I was pissed because I knew what I did on the call and I was like, why did I do that? I was kind of kicking rocks. And my brother was working in sales at the time and he's like, that's really interesting. Like, why did you do that? And I was like, I think it's because I really wanted her to be my friend. And if that is just not the most people-pleasing thing that has ever left my mouth, there is, I'm like just kicking myself all over again of you wanted someone to be your friend instead of serving them when you met them as a stranger on the internet and they said yes to a call and they showed up to the call and they didn't ghost you and they were honest and vulnerable and you left her. You left her hanging because of the judgments you had about her. And because of this deep desire to be liked. Boo. That sucks. I've done a lot of work around people pleasing and all this, that, and the other since then. But wow, I learned that lesson once. That was a jarring moment for me. And I just was like, I will only do that one time. All my times moving forward, I'm going to propose even if people say no. And I've made a lot of coaching proposals since then. And a lot of people have said yes under much different financial circumstances, better and worse off than that girl on the call, on that one call. And I will probably always think about that client. I probably will always think about her. This all being said, going, I think the second layer of why we cherry pick our opportunities is because we are judging. It's like an automatic judgment we have towards people, right? So, and this is very closely entwined with limiting beliefs. But we judge people at face value. And instead of ignoring that and being like, I don't do that, I would encourage you to just be really honest with yourself and see where you automatically judge people. Our brain likes to categorize things, people, experiences as good or bad or familiar or unfamiliar, as safe or unsafe. And we're making rapid fire judgments all of the time. And we get it wrong. We get it wrong. If you have been in the coaching game for more than a year, you probably have experienced this, to where you have worked with a client that you thought was going to have incredible results and like be the easiest client to coach, and they weren't. And vice versa, someone that really took you by surprise and was the underdog and overcame a lot. Like, there's so much room and potential for our judgments to get in the way of our work. And I think that it's really important that we check those at the door, and we don't ignore them. There was one more point here. I'm trying to recall it back from my memory. A third point about cherry picking our opportunities. Oh, yes. Okay. Last point here, team. I think that the reason we cherry pick our opportunities is because there is a level within you that has decided that you are going to win, or has decided that you are going to fail. And we are catering to that subconscious voice at all times. So if you cherry pick your opportunities because you have a deep inner belief that this isn't going to work, that you're going to fail anyways, and you're just going to like half-ass try, and we're going to curate circumstances and experiences to reconfirm that belief, you will be right 100% of the time. I just got off a call with someone who I believe really does want coaching. She really does want to be a coach. She wants out of her job. She doesn't love it. But she's financially secure, which is awesome. But we get to tap into a different source of fuel, right? For your why, for your purpose. Money is an easy source to tap into. It can get us to do uncomfortable things. But if you are financially secure, what else is there? What else can we tap into to get you to move and not just be still and frozen? And the way she was talking about her practice today was that she was going to try for a year and then see. And she was going to, that she was like planning her way out of coaching. And so I stopped her and I asked her if this is what she really wanted, right? If there is a deep-seated belief that I actually don't want this business, I actually don't want to be a coach, I actually don't, there's not anything wrong with that. But we can just cut it. We can like shine a light on that and cut it right here and not put you through the turmoil that comes with the next year. But if you really want it, how can we start planning for you to win? What opportunities would you say yes to if you knew that in 5 years there's X amount of dollars in your bank account? I wonder what looks different for you. If we plan for worst case scenario, have a plan, set that plan down, and also plan for best case scenario. What is here? What is here for you? If you believe that it all works out and that it's all happening for you. I'm curious. Again, wishing one of you were here live with me on the call so that I could have a real person to ask these things to. But where are you cherry picking your opportunities? Where are you cherry picking your clients? Where are you cherry picking your experiences and what belief are you feeding? Are you feeding the belief that you win? Are you feeding the belief that you lose? All right, team, choose wisely. I'll see you next week.